الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد. My brothers and sisters, we have been talking about the lessons from Surah Luqman, and we have been on the lesson with respect to Salah, the importance of Salah, why Salah is important, what Salah does for us, what Salah can do for us, should do for us, and all of that, especially with respect to tahajjud, with respect to the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. I think we have spent a couple of jumas on that, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to His knowledge and to His noor, so that we can take help and we can take sustenance from that. Today we are living in a time where, thanks to global developments, whether it is the governments in our countries, whether it is new developments, whether it is wars, and so on and so forth, there tends to be an atmosphere of, I won't say despair, because I don't think it is that bad, but definitely an atmosphere of discouragement, an atmosphere of some level of fear, differing levels of fear with regard to the future. So people say, well, you know, Donald Trump got elected to America. Now what will happen to America? What will happen to the world? You say, here we have a BJP government. So what will happen to India? And so on, so on, so on, so on. Now, I have a diametrically opposite view on that. I tend to have a diametrically opposite view on most things. And my diametrically opposite view is that if you want to sell light bulbs, what do you need? You need a place which needs to be lighted. Can you sell light bulbs in the haram? In 2002, I spent the entire Ramadan 1 month in the haram, in Makkah. And when I came back, the first night in my house in Hyderabad, when I went into the bedroom and I turned the lights off, I said to my wife, I said, something is very strange. What's up? Something is wrong. So she said, what is wrong? Nothing is wrong. I said, no, something is very funny, very peculiar. So she probably thought I've, bonked something. Until I realized that was the first time I saw darkness in 35 days or 31, 32 days. For the previous 30 days, I had not seen darkness. Because in the daytime, there is sunlight. And in the night time, in the haram, the lights are like sunlight. So there is no darkness, even for a second, day or night. The level of illumination is the same. So I got used to sleeping in absolutely bright lights. But at the same time, there was no darkness. So my point is, if I am selling light bulbs, the haram is not the place to sell them, because no one has any need for it. So what do you need if you want to sell light bulbs? You need darkness. So my view on whether it is Donald Trump or whoever, is that alhamdulillah, this is the best thing that could have happened. This is the best thing that could have happened to the Muslims of the world. Please understand very, very, very clearly. This is absolutely the best thing that could have happened to the Muslims of the world, that Donald Trump got elected as President of America, and whatever else. I'm not standing here making a list of names. You know the names better than I do, or as well as I do. All of them are the best thing that could have happened to the Muslims of the world. Provided you are in the business of selling light bulbs. Darkness is good for whom? For the one who has got something to sell, which can dispel that darkness for others. Otherwise, it's a problem. If you are blind and you have no torchlight and you have no way of illuminating or creating illumination in that darkness, then you are going to fall flat on your face like everybody else. So the question is not Donald Trump, the question is me. The question is you. Are you in the business of selling light bulbs? So nothing to get worried about and nothing to get depressed about and so on and so forth. The conditions for Muslims, the political conditions, the economic conditions of Makkah at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were not only far worse than the present conditions, whether it's in America or anywhere else, but no matter who comes, they cannot, for example, make it legal to do the kinds of things that people did to the Muslims in Makkah at the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So they can, conditions can never get that bad. What you saw there and what I saw there, as far as the seerah is concerned, are much worse than what we will ever see, alhamdulillah. But what is it that made Sayyidina Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu, many years ago, when they asked him, what was the happiest moment of your life? And he said, the moment when Umayyah bin Khalaf used to put a big rock on my chest and put me without my shirt on the hot soil of Makkah, and they used to drag me, and I used to say, Ahadun Ahad. That is the best time that I had in my life. So they said, why did you say Ahadun Ahad? He said, because it used to infuriate him. Imagine, what kind of a mind is that? The man is torturing you and you want to get him more and more angry. You're not trying to make him feel happy or whatever so that he will reduce the torture. No, you say something which actually infuriates him even more. So he said, I used to say Ahadun Ahad because I knew it used to infuriate him even more. How was Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu able to say that? Because he was in the business of selling light bulbs. So he said, the more the darkness, the more my bulb will shine. So question to myself and you is, are we in the business of selling light bulbs? Or do you want to be among those who are going to sit around and moan and groan about darkness? Because believe me, that darkness, there's only one way of removing darkness, and that is to create light. If you know some other way, tell me. The only way I know of removing darkness is to light a lamp. If you have some other way, let me know. So if you're not prepared to light a lamp, then darkness is your fate. And no amount of mourning and groaning and crying and whatnot is going to take away the darkness, because that is what you have chosen for yourself. You have chosen not to light a lamp. Boundary conditions are not in our control. What we can do is in our control. And what we can do changes boundary conditions for us. And that is the reason why we are talking about Salah. Not because Salah is some ritual to be done to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and therefore to give us Jannah. That also, and that is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the fundamental reason for doing Salah. But Salah also because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ista'inu bis sabri was Salah. He said, when you have difficulties, take the help of sabr and Salah. Do what you need to do 100% and then ask for the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. And that's the reason we need to know what is Salah. We need to know what to do about Salah. And one of the things that we are planning to do is a 2-day Tazkiyah workshop on Salah and Dhikr, inshallah. So anybody is interested, welcome to come. As always, everything is free. But how do you actually pray? What actually happens to you when you pray? We need to learn that. Like anything else. It won't happen automatically because you have a cap on your head or because your name is Muslim. No. We have to learn that. So inshallah we will also do that at some point and that will be announced. So the salah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu prescribed for us and prescribed for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and as I mentioned, it's one of the first things that was revealed after the revelation began, was to inculcate in the Muslims the habit of asking only and only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu, and of bowing and obeying only and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. It is to inculcate in them the discipline of cleansing themselves from impurity and sin, external impurity and internal impurity, tazkiya of the body and tazkiya of the qalb. It is to inculcate in them the discipline of repenting their sins, of returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, istighfar wa tawbah, planning their lives, having a timetable, following a leader, standing shoulder to shoulder with their brothers, and collectively demonstrating their brotherhood of faith. Ek hi saf mein khade ho gaye Mahmood o Ayaz, today unfortunately is only a share. It's only a one piece of a couplet. That is what was intended in Islam. That before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no king and there is no subject. Because the only king is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. It's important, my brothers and sisters, to understand the benefits of salah and to realize what a big honor it is. Salah is not a burden. Salah is, I won't say salah is not a duty, because it is a duty, but it's not even to be viewed as a duty. Salah must be viewed in the correct way, which is to see it as an honor given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Salah is the permission that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to somebody like me, who is not even worthy of the name, to come into His presence whenever I want. One is to come into the presence when Allah wants, which is the Fard Salawat. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not restrict the Salah to Fard Salawat only. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Abd, He gave the slave the permission to come into His presence absolutely at any time he wants. Is that an honor or is that a burden? Feel that inside. Feel that inside. I don't specialize in asking dumb questions. Feel it inside. Do you really feel it's an honor? If you really feel it's an honor, then how come you do not even turn up for the first salah in the masjid? So who are you lying to? Anyone who feels that even nafil salah is an honor, which it is, how can that person not pray for salah in the masjid unless he is completely physically incapable of doing that? Feel it inside. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this honor. Come whenever you want, I am there for you. Come at your convenience, I am there for you. Huh? Just think about that. At your convenience. I am free at this time. Can I do salah? Yes. Allah did not say, you are free. Who the hell are you? You come when I want you to come. You are free, you are not free. You convenient, not convenient, I don't care. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said that. What do we say? Why do we say people must seek appointments? Not to show our greatness or whatnot, because it's impossible. If you say, come and meet me anytime you want, it becomes a problem. But tell me, no matter, I mean, I am particularly strict about appointments. I don't meet anyone unless they have first taken an appointment. But ask me, are there people in my life for whom that appointment thing doesn't work? Those are people who can call me any time of the day or night. They can come and meet me any time of the day or night. I'm absolutely delighted when they do that. Are there people like this in my life? Of course. Will there be people like that in your life? Of course. That is the level that Allah gave you and me. Everyone. Every Muslim, every person, dua, no conditions. Salah is dua. Salah, no conditions. Other than that of tahara. Dua, even the tahara condition is not there. We consider it a burden. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. Musibat hai, oh, namaz padna hai. Bole to ab namaz pad liya na, abhi kya karo bolte? Seriously, I mean, really, really, we have, that is the reason why that salah does not do anything for us. Otherwise, ask me, why is it that we pray and still we have fear in our hearts? Why? Allah said, "Ista'inu bi sabri wa salah." I did sabr, I did salah. I made whatever effort I needed to make and I prayed. But there is no isti'ana, there is no help. So is my salah working or not working? How is it that we pray five times a day and then in masjids we have masjid committee members who curse each other and beat each other and fight with each other? What kind of salah is that? How is it that we have a situation where the imam of the masjid, you pray two rakat of salah behind him and then outside the masjid you treat him like a dog, like a servant? How is that? So what is that salah doing for us? And the reason the salah is doing nothing for us, illa mashallah, is because we do not understand what is salah. We do not give salah the importance that is due to it. We do not see it in its reality, which is an honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we are spending so much of time on the issue of salah. That is the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. That is the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to do because of the benefit that it does. And therefore, if we bring ourselves to understand that salah is an honor, and if we can then pray the way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, and see the hikmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of emphasizing the position of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made salah fard. But the method of salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not explain in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed it to his Nabi. And his Nabi said, "Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli." He said, "Pray as you have seen me pray." He did not say, "Pray as Allah told you to pray in the Quran. Pray as you read in this surah or that surah," because it's not there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have explained the salah rakat by rakat in detail if he had wanted to. Who was stopping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from doing that? The kitab of Allah was not going to an editor or a publisher with a word count limit. Allah did not do that. To emphasize for us the importance of his Nabi Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Salah is sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Please understand that. People ask me, how is the sunnah fard? I say, you are every five times a day you are doing sunnah, which is fard. Sunnah is fard. How do you pray this salah? How do you pray this Jummah? Where is the description of Jummah in the Quran? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Jummah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Fas'au ila zikrillah." Run towards the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But who taught us what is Jummah? Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Denying the importance of sunnah leads to kufr. Anyone who believes that he can be a Muslim and he can practice Islam independent of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has left Islam. There is no Islam without Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Please understand that very, very clearly. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this salah for. So now, what is the desired standard of salah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as I mentioned before, he was taught how to pray and he taught us how to pray. Where he said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. He said, pray as you have seen me pray. And then the level of that salah, the quality of that salah. Now remember, every time you talk about quality, what do the people of quality or people who teach quality standards, what do they teach you? How do they teach you? They talk about the maximum level of that quality. Quality means so much. Six sigma means 3.4 mistakes per million. Anything more than that is not six sigma. And so on and so on. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is asked about quality by Jibreel alayhi salam, what is ihsan ya Rasulullah? What does he say? Qala fa'akhbirni ala al-ihsan. Qala an ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tara. Fa'in lam takun tara fa'innahu yarak. He said sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the hadith of which is known as Hadith Jibreel, narrated by Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, which the muhaddithun have said that this hadith is equal to 33%, one third of Islam. That is the importance of this particular hadith, Hadith Jibreel. So Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu says that the man, and at that time he did not know that this was Jibreel alayhi salam. After he left, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, who was this? He said, this was Jibreel who came to teach you your religion. So Umar ibn al-Khattab is seeing this man who came and he's sitting there in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he's talking to him and he's questioning him in a way that was completely different from the normal behavior of the sahaba. So he said, the man said, inform me about ihsan. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, answered, it is that you should worship Allah as though you can see Him. For though you cannot see Him, yet He sees you. So what is the matlub? What is the desired level, the desired quality of salah? To worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if we are seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of us. And to know that though we cannot see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us Himself when we meet Him insha'Allah. To know that though we cannot see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing me. And why do I call this a quality standard? Because this is not restricted to salah. Worship Allah as if you can see Him extends to every aspect of your life and my life. Speak to others as if you are seeing Allah. Deal with others as if you are seeing Allah. And though you are not seeing Allah, know that Allah is seeing you. And Allah is seeing that deal that you are making. Just think about this. Anyone who has this awareness, is it possible for that person to tell a lie? Anyone who has this awareness, is it possible for that person to do ghiba? To bad talk somebody else? For someone who has this awareness, is it possible for that person to do anything that is dishonest, anything that is bad, any sin of any kind? Is it possible for that person to commit that sin? So what is this thing doing for you? What is this level of salah, an ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tara? What is it doing for us? It is protecting us from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. The greatest shield of the Muslim is an ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tara. It protects you from shaitan. It protects you from every kind of sin. Because when you are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you are looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you are standing there with the awareness that though I cannot see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing me, who is the most important in that situation? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are staring into a 1,000 watt or a 10,000 watt halogen bulb, I obviously don't recommend you do that because you are blind. But if you did that, would you be able to see anything other than the light? Impossible. It completely blinds you. And not only does it blind you, but when you then turn away from that light, what do you see? You still see the same light. For a few minutes, you are actually blinded to everything else. You have to blink your eyes a few times before your eyes will adjust to a lower level of illumination. If you look into a bright light and then you turn, all you can see is that light. A flash of light here, a flash of light there. You cannot recognize things, you cannot see things because that light has blinded you. This is what the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what antabudallaha ka'annaka tara does for you, is blinds you to the glory and the power and the so-called magnificence of the world. You can't see it anymore, alhamdulillah. Because you are seeing the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. So what is the glory of any human being, or what is the glory of any system? It has no meaning. It has no meaning. How can then something which is disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can you possibly do that? It completely shields you from all sins. It gives you tremendous strength. People will look at you and say, how is it that you can resist? And the person is saying, I'm not even resisting anything. It's not even a temptation. I don't have to resist anything. In my heart, there is no pull towards that thing. That is what it does for you. That is what salah does for you. And the question to ask is your and my salah doing that? If it is not doing that, we have to work on it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this world a world where only effort gets results. No effort, no result. That is the fundamental law of this world. Like gravity, like aerodynamics, like thermodynamics, like all the laws of life. This is also a law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Cause and effect. You want an effect, you have to create a cause. You have to address the cause which gets you that effect. If you want to change the effect, it won't change by itself. You have to go to the cause. Change the cause, automatically you will have a different effect. So if the effect of salah is not coming in my life, what do I need to do? I need to change the cause. I need to change and address those things which are devaluing my salah, which are taking away the power from my salah. I have a phone, but the battery is dead. So even though it is a phone and it looks like a phone, it doesn't do anything. I can't make a call because the battery is dead. If I want to talk to somebody, I have to charge that battery. And that is what tahajjud does. And that is what the ta'alluq ma'allah does. That is what the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. So how do we get there? I'm going to speak of some of these things now and then some of the things next Jummah. I don't want to rush through that. Each one of these requires us to spend time and think about all this. How do we get to a level where we have salah which is at the level of ihsan? Because that is the standard. We are measuring ourselves against that standard. أَنْتَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَى فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. The first and foremost thing is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you are not in salah helps you to have awareness and concentration and khushu and khudu in salah. What you and I do outside salah affects the quality of the salah. So the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala between salawat, which is the time when we are not in salah. And that's why it's very important to do two things. One is to always try to be in a state of wudu. It's very simple. Every time wudu breaks, you go to the toilet or something, make wudu straight away. So you're always in a state of wudu, and a person in a state of wudu is protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So make this into a habit of yours. Never be outside, never be in a state where you're not in wudu. Including at night when you go to bed, before you go to bed, make wudu and then go to bed. Make wudu and then do the azkar of the night before you go to sleep. And the recitation of Quran and Surah Al-Mulk and Surah Sajda and so on. Do all of that and then go to sleep. There are two very beautiful hadiths related to this particular part. where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi is reported to have said that a person who sleeps in a state of wudu, who is in a state of wudu, makes the askar and then he goes to sleep. Every time the person turns in his sleep, every time he moves, Allah appoints an angel who prays for his forgiveness. Says, Ya Allah, forgive this man. Ya Allah, forgive this lady. Throughout the night, till the person wakes up, there is an angel there who is making dua for your maghfirat. You are fast asleep. You just turn in your sleep. You move in your sleep. And the angel is making dua again and again and again for your and my maghfirat. This is a beautiful, fadila of sleeping in a state of wudu. And the second fadilat of sleeping in a state of wudu is, if anything, even better than this, which is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you wake up in the night, so you were in a state of wudu when you went to sleep, and then you got up, maybe you to go to the toilet or whatever, or your sleep got disturbed, you woke up. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, at that time, if the person makes any dua, Allah will accept it. So sleep, specifically go to sleep, keep in your mind and say, this is a dua I need to make. And then, if you wake up in the night, think about that dua, make this dua, insha'Allah al-musta'an, the word of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is true, this dua Allah will accept. Constant awareness in a state of wudu. And then the zikr of Allah. Make sure that except for speaking about things which are essential, some important thing you have to say to somebody, you are speaking to your family, by all means, have a good time with them and so on and so on. But other than that, don't say anything other than the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the best azkar is durood on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is salat and salam on Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because when you send salat and salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends salat and salam on you 10 times for every once that you send durood on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. There is special fadail of durood in Jummah, especially on the day of Jummah. So make sure that you recite durood as much as possible. And then of course any of the other adhkar, la ilaha illallah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, whatever you like, but make sure that your tongue is always moist with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 24/7. As if you are awake, make sure that you are doing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You do not have to do it loudly. It is better not to do it loudly. Don't ruin your ibadah by riya, by showing off. Don't walk around with the tasbih in your hand. So the whole world knows, mashallah, this Maulana is always in dhikr. No. Do it inside your heart. Allah knows what is happening. Keep it inside. If somebody asks you a question, don't say, hold on. I have to complete my dhikr. Now what? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. You just blew it. I mean, you're crazy. If somebody asks you a question, answer him. Go back to your dhikr. Make apology to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, I broke the dhikr in between. Please forgive me. But I don't want people to know. Seriously, this is a very big evil. This is what shaitan comes and tells you. Someone comes and says, please make dua for me. Yes, inshallah, in tahajjud today I will make dua. La hawla la quwwata illa billah. So you want everyone to know I am praying tahajjud. For what? You pray tahajjud for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You pray tahajjud. No, there is no need for anyone to know that you pray tahajjud. Don't tell anyone. The ibadat that you do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in secret, their power is if you keep it between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't tell the world. The moment you told the world, it's gone, it's trashed. Even if you did that, it doesn't mean there is no hope. Make tawbah and don't do it from now on. So, dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously as much as possible. So, two things that I reminded myself and you today. One is to always be in a state of wudu, right? Karenge bhai? We'll do this inshallah. And second one is always to keep making dhikr. Durood on Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and any dhikr you want to make. Continuously, except for whatever you need to do in your work and home and so on and so forth. By all means, we're not putting a lock on your tongue and saying don't talk. Do all of that. But every other moment, do dhikr. Because the biggest benefit of that is that it constantly keeps you aware of this fact that I am standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now in the course of this, there is some conflict, there is some useless talk, there is some ghibah, there is some opportunity to say something, some nonsensical stuff. You get angry, somebody does some nonsense thing and it makes you angry. All of that will disappear. None of that bothers you. MashaAllah, you are at peace. Because you say, I am just saying the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can I curse this fellow now? My tongue just now has got the beautiful words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name and sifat. And now I want to, teach him his genealogy from starting from his great grandmother onwards. I mean, la hawla quwwata illa billah. Can't do that, right? So, keeps you pure, keeps you protected, keeps your tongue protected from all kinds of evil. So, these two things, inshallah. And then we'll look at other things as we go along. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to be pleased with you and to make it easy to do things that please Him and to save us from that which does not please Him.